Turn this morning to 1 Corinthians, chapter 1. We begin our reading with verse 25. The foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how there are not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. That's a pretty tough statement, isn't it? The Apostle Paul here reminds us that the creator of this universe that you and I are now living in is wiser and is stronger than the wisest and the strongest human being that ever has lived or ever will live. This, of course, reduces the very vanity of being human and all our race's so-called achievements and advantages to foolishness, and challenges a sinful and prideful mankind to accept God either as supreme and sovereign or as a non-existent being worshipped by ignorant and unlearned people. One of the two. Further, as if to rub salt into our wounded egos, Paul adds that it is these very humans, the ones considered ignorant and unlearned, that God chooses to advance his eternal plan for the human race. That's strange. To climax this spiritual truth, Paul further claims that God does these things sinful humanity despises in order to bring glory to himself and to himself alone. Listen to the counsel of verse 29. That no flesh to glory in his presence. In other words, one of the least important things in God's great plan is the natural being of humanity. You see, God does this so that in his presence we cannot glorify ourselves. In his presence we cannot glorify ourselves. The last two verses of our morning text set forth these four spiritual truths that Christians must never forget. Our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, God, the creator of the universe we are now living in, came to us in human flesh, and he is our wisdom. He is our righteousness. He is our sanctification, and He is our redemption. And He alone. First, wisdom. True spiritual wisdom is the ability to discern the truth. It is the gift of insight into reality and the ability to guide others to find the solution to their sin problem once and for all. It is confessing our need for forgiveness. It is trusting Christ's work on our behalf. And it is receiving the new spiritual birth Christ informs Nicodemus he must have to enter or to understand God's kingdom and God's gift to sinful humanity of eternal life. So much then for wisdom, true wisdom. That's, wisdom is the fear of the living God, knowing how powerful God is, knowing what God can do and what God will do. And then righteousness. Righteousness, beloved, is the aforementioned wisdom applied to our lives. And that introduces us to the moral values we are expected to practice and the virtue we are to show before a lost and dying world that we are surrounded by until we are called home by our Creator. Yes, Jesus plainly teaches us by the life He Himself led that the world will hate us. But He also teaches us that it hates Him first, and its very treatment of Him is what saved us from the punishment we deserve. The ones the world called foolish, the ones that the lost deride. Wisdom, righteousness, sanctification. This, my friends, is our education. From the day of our salvation to our entrance into God's heavenly kingdom. It's the life we now live, the spirit-filled life that we entered as babies. Amen? You must be born again. That which is the flesh is flesh. Always will be. No flesh can glory in the presence of God. So you must be born, Nicodemus, of the Spirit. You must be born again. You must start all over. But I'm 28 years old. But I'm 40 years old. But I'm 60. You must start all over. It's our education. We start out as babies, born of the Spirit, learning, growing, maturing, ripening, suffering, surviving, aliens in a foreign land, pilgrims in a lost civilization. Read the scriptures, Old and New Testament. Talk with your Heavenly Father. Fellowship with like believers. Share the good news of salvation with friends and with neighbors, with strangers. Be up and doers and not pew sitters. Kindergarten, primary school, middle school, high school, advanced studies. Keep learning until graduation day. Amen? I'm still learning. Are you still learning? Absolutely. One day we will graduate. One day we will. This sanctified life absolutely guarantees that you will not walk through the valley of the shadow of death alone. Your Savior, the shepherd to whom you belong, will be with you from the first day in kindergarten till graduation. That is such a relief to know that. Do you know that? If you don't, talk to BJ, talk to me, talk to a member of this church. Call us on the phone. Come down front this morning and talk to us. This isn't an invitation. This is just open all the time. Amen? Every time we meet. Four things a Christian must never forget. Wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. The basic meaning of this word is payment in full. When you redeem something, it's payment in full. As to regarding the debt we owed God for our sins, which of course was death and eternal abiding in a place called hell, which Jesus referred to, and this is what God says about hell, not what the preacher says or thinks, what somebody writes in a book or song, some show on stage or in the movies. Jesus says about hell, it is where endless suffering will go on, where the fire is never quenched, and where the worm never dies, a place that so-called wise, mighty, and noble folks insist does not exist. Redemption, my beloved people, is the sovereign declaration of the Creator of this universe that your debt and my debt is paid in full. Those wonderful words spoken through the parched lips of a dying Savior. It is finished. It's taken care of. It's taken care of. I don't care how you feel. You have eternal life now if you're trusting in Jesus Christ. Do you have it? Do you care? Does it matter? Do we, who in this lost world are charged as being foolish and weak and base These four spiritual truths must never be forgotten. Yes, we are to glory in the Lord because Jesus Christ is those four things. You see how little we had to do but believe. Just believe. That's too simple. We got to do something. Just believe. The Bible says to believe. To believe. Before the universe existed, before he spoke everything in existence into existence, before the foundation of this little world spinning through space that we live on, before the universe existed, God's plan for his people was his son becoming their wisdom, becoming their eternal righteousness, becoming their sanctification, and becoming their Redeemer. Remember this. No flesh will ever glory in the presence of their Creator. No, my friends, we must, just as Jesus told Nicodemus, we must be born again. We must be born of the Spirit for that reason. Because no flesh can ever glory in the presence of God. It is time for many who claim to be Christians today to stop trying and start trusting. Amen. Our Savior, and he alone, Jesus Christ, is our wisdom, our righteousness, our sanctification, and our redemption. Believe it. Our only glory is Jesus.